At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting 6 crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus 4 biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-lickin' good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Hey guys, welcome back to the Art of Craftsmanship podcast. My name is Dustin O'Hara, and I'm here with my brother and co-host Evan.
Hello.
Hello, brother.
Hello.
All right. Back again off of our bi-weekly podcast.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Always forgive your enemy. Nothing annoys them so much. Nice.
That's very nice.
Or here's one more. A day without sunshine is like, you know, night.
It's the same as later in that day. You
know, night.
That's great. Both of those quotes remind me of High Fidelity, which I just finished reading.
Ooh. Oh, so you good. Did finally.
Yeah, yeah.
Isn't it great?
Yeah. It is great. I finished it in less than a week, which is the fastest I've ever read a book.
It's definitely good. It lends itself to that.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just like, because the story just moves along and like, it's so good. And because I've seen the movie a bunch of times, it's one of my favorite movies, you know, I know what's going to happen, you know?
Right. You don't have to take the time to like suss out in your brain and slow you down. Like, wait, who's that? And why are they doing this?
Right. Exactly.
Just more of what you already love.
Yeah. Right.
You know, it's more of the lists, more of him discussing the like, day-to-day stuff of dating and relationships and music and what a great book.
Yeah, it's so good. And it's funny because it's pretty close to the movie. You know, the order of stuff isn't exactly the same. The most different thing from the book to the movie is he has more of a prolonged relationship with Marie LaSalle in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Like in the movie, it's just like, they go out to see her at the show. She comes back to the record store. They go out to, you know, for drinks with her.
They have one night
stand. That's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But in the book, like, you know, she's around more and she's just, they become friends, you know, like it's a little weird because like he still thinks she's really attractive and stuff. And like like they're not going to sleep together again, but he feels kind of weird and she's American and he's British. So he's like, he's more reserved and she's more like, hey, whatever, you know, like come, let's hang out. Let's get a drink. Yeah. Da da da. Right. You know, like, so, but
he's also still in love with, Laura, or is it Laura, right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
So there's still
of course, right. The whole time.
That's exactly. Just in the background the whole time.
Yeah.
What a great, I got to reread it. It's been like 10 years.
Good. Yeah. It's so good. And like, yeah, it's fun how many quotes and things are in the movie that are direct from the book, you know, because the book is written almost like a script, you know, it's a lot of dialogue. It's a lot of quotes, you know, it's like you could really, you know, place in different characters. And they just do the stuff. And I love it the way, like how, the way he writes Dick and the way he writes Barry and like, no, it's really good. That was really good.
Great book.
Yeah.
Great book. Yeah, we've all been super busy. This has been my busiest time of year. Like, it's always for me August and September because football's back. All my kind of jobs start to merge in one, and then I got the kids' birthdays, and, and it's just super busy. And now I've started shooting with Scott from the Crafty Studio, so it's just added. It's been crazy busy, but but you know, fun, exciting stuff.
Yeah, right on. That's cool. Yeah, I watched that video today his first of the
the first weekly
chaos thing. What was it called? Chaos
chaotic flux is what he
chaotic flux it. yeah right on.
But that it's just going to be it's going to be like a weekly thing. We already have already edited the second one.
Yeah, I like how at the end of the first one you were like, and next week it's like and something happens, like it's a little snippet of it, you know. Yeah, it was good.
I thought there's a couple channels that I've watched that has that same style, but that never worked for us because you're not making things for other people. It's kind
of unique. It's also it's not my job. Right. You know, it's different when it's your job, because then there's always something going on.
There's always business coming in, and especially with Scott. For people who don't know, Scott has a channel called The Crafty Studio. It used to be called The Crafty Wiener, but he had a bunch of issues with that. And that actually comes episode 2 when he paints over it. He's testing paint colors all over the building.
Oh, nice.
anyway, he bought a big paper mill near us in the county and has been rehabbing it for years, but he's finally really pedal to the metal. Like the shop we saw dust, he talks about it in the first episode. He's moving to that bigger area.
Right, yeah.
And walling that off and having like a community entrance near it and like really breaking it all down so he can start having other people, renting space. And they're calling it the collaboratory.
Yeah, that's
so great. He's going to have a bunch of other people there, but also just figuring out how to cordon space off to where people can come in or... excuse me, but he also has issues with too many people coming in. People just stop by all the time. You can't get stuff done. So he's gonna have like a special entrance. But anyway, there's a million things happening.
Who was the guy that was walking around with him? That was like a general contractor dude.
Todd is the head general contractor.
Okay. And what company is he with? Or is that like he's with a separate, a separate contracting company?
Yeah, he's like with a building company. I don't know.
Gotcha. No, that's great. It was cool to see that space and see him talking about what he wants where. And also, like, one of the things that I always like about those kind of vlog style videos, especially when you have a dedicated camera person that you can like, that you can be involved in the, like, some of the dialogue. Like, there was a little bit of that back and forth between him and you know, like, he's like, yeah, Devin's my creative director behind the camera, you know, like, and it's kind of fun. Like, I like that. That's one of the things I really like, I talked about this before, but Luke McFadden, I've been like watching a lot of his YouTube videos, and he's a full-time crabber but he does other stuff too, just the marina and the water stuff. But then his buddy Riley usually is like behind the camera and helping him out. And sometimes they'll like put the camera down, they'll both work on it, you know. So it's like, it's kind of an interesting dynamic.
Yeah.
That
was kind of something that I didn't plan on doing, but I think that's what Scott likes. And for that style, it works because you kind of need characters.
Yeah, you know? Right.
Because it's like a vlog. Yeah. You're like, hey, this is Todd. This is the camera guy. This is Scott. Oh, here comes another person in. Oh, this is the people we're working with this week. Like, you kind of need...
Yeah.
Since it's like an episodic vloggy style weekly thing, you need people to come in and out.
Yeah, it's not always project-based where it's like, let me follow along in a project and see how someone makes something.
Yeah.
It's like, let me just follow along in the day-to-day life of this and see the characters that are in and out of the shop. And, you know, and you build, like, relationships with the different people and the different spaces. And, that's cool.
So it's interesting. We're doing that and then, you know, shooting the big builds, too. But it's going to be the weekly thing, and then when he finishes a full project, we'll probably put that, you know, that out as a thing.
Right, yeah.
But it will just be, because I feel like in the next 4 months, that whole building's going to go through such a transformation that it will be interesting to see.
Yeah, right on.
You know, all the things that happen. But also, he shouted you out, obviously, because he's like, your brother needs to come and do this and do that. Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, you mean from The Art of Craftsmanship? So I like made it funny and like shouted out our channel.
Nice.
but then he does. I was like, because he was like, oh, we're going to have like a big logo here and a big logo there. And I don't know what to do with this space. And I talked about talked about it with you before. Oh, right. Like, hey, you should do a mural.
Right, right.
Something, yeah. and you could do it no matter, even if it, or if it was just a logo. Like, you could do a logo, or you could kind of do a cool mural, and, you know, nowadays you can project things on walls and make really beautiful things, and, like,
yeah,
you know.
Right, exactly. Yeah.
But there's a lot of really cool open spaces that need some artistic love.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be fun. It'd be fun to do, you know, a video where it's almost, I mean, not exactly a collaboration, but almost a collaboration, you know.
Yeah,
it's like our channel doing stuff for his at his place, you know, like in
It like would dual be, videos. And then we could, yeah, we would. I would shoot it as our video, but then also have it vloggy.
Right.
With just the DJI, you know, shoot like I'll shoot in the other one.
Yeah.
And we'd have both. Like, it'd be great.
Nice. Yeah. Yeah, you double team it. Like, yeah, that'd be cool. It'd be fun. I like Scott. He's just a good dude, you know.
Yeah, really nice guy. And he's doing really, I mean, he wants to do a million things.
Right, yeah.
Which is, that's interesting.
Yeah.
And he has the means to do it. So that's, I think it's going to be a lot of like kind of shop/space porn, like, you know, just area. Yeah. Everyone goes, man, what would I do with a giant, you know, place like that? Because exactly. It's really cool. And that was half the thing I want to capture, is walking around that place and realizing how big it is. And like, I think I've gone there 4 times now, and I'm just starting to, oh, okay, I'm on this side of the building. Oh, that's where this is. You know, it's like so many sections all kind of connected. Yeah. It's like a maze of connected big sections. I'm finally getting the layout down. So
nice. That's cool.
It's been good. I'm going there tomorrow morning, and we're gonna shoot some stuff.
Nice. Right on.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So I'm back from 2 vacations.
Your adventures. Definitely can't shoot for the Art of Craftsmanship. You've been gone for 2 months.
Right. This last like month or so of summertime has been like every weekend. So yeah, last time we were recording, I was just about to do the Governor's Cup, which is the big overnight race that we do each year down the bay, starting around Annapolis and down to St. Mary's College, which is about 68 or 70 miles, depending on how you fly the boat. But yeah, it was awesome. So we did that, and then the following week we're at Lake George, and then this week we're down at we're going to Virginia on the Shenandoah. So like different groups of friends, different things, but it all worked out well that each thing had its like own weekend, and they didn't overlap, so we could actually do, you know, stuff together with different groups.
Missing another Maeve birthday party.
Yeah, I don't know. She got that late summer birthday. Vacation time birthdays. Yeah. But yeah, so we did so the Governor's Cup, which was 2 weekends ago. It was all that we were thinking that it may be. So the whole, you know, north wind down the bay, straight, you know, shoot, put up a spinnaker and just fly down the bay. It was definitely that. The wind was not, it ended up clocking more to the side of our boat rather than from behind. So we were able to fly the spinnaker for the first like maybe 3.5 hours or so. And then we took that down and we put up our normal front big sail. And then we're able basically to like just be on kind of a broad reach, as they you say. So it's like, so the wind coming from behind you, it's coming from the side and slightly behind you. So it's like still from behind, just, and we just were able to put up our sail and just fly down the bay just all night long. Went so fast, the fastest we've ever gone on the boat. I actually hit 10.7 knots at one point in the early morning. Actually, no, that was late. It was like 11 o'clock or something, 10:30, 11 o'clock. Just because it was like all the right conditions. So we had good wind from behind, averaging, I would say, like maybe 15 to 18 knots of wind, and then, you know, gusting to 20 to 25. So just really good, strong wind from behind. And because of that, because it was a few days of that north wind just blowing straight down the bay, blowing south, it was picking up the waves. So the waves ended up picking up to about, you know, I'd say 3 to 4 feet, which, you know, doesn't sound like much, but when you're out on the bay and the whole boat is lifting up out of the water and then you're cruising down waves, and yeah, so like basically whoever was on the helm was just trying to keep the boat going straight, because as every time a wave picks up and the wind picks up, the boat wants to push up into the wind, so the nose wants to turn toward the wind. So when you're on the helm or on the tiller, you're trying to fight against that. So you're pulling the boat to keep it down, to go fly down the wave. And then the person who's on the mainsail is like pulling the mainsail in as the boat starts to lift up on the wave, which will like help to put more wind in the sail and speed you up. So you go over the top of the wave. And then as you go down the wave, then you start like, you kind of let it out a little bit. So then it doesn't push you too fast and you can actually stay on the wave. So we were just like, just hours and hours of just cruising up and down waves and just boom, 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 just going so fast. It was so much fun. But yeah, so we started the race at 3:30 and probably at about 3:30 PM. Let's see. So we did, we took shifts. So, Uncle Jack, who is, you know, Charles's uncle, who has taught us all to sail, he wasn't there with us this year. So we did 2 hour shifts on the helm. I started, the race, and then Drew took over, and then Charles took over after Drew, and then I took over after that. So when Charles was on the helm, which would have been at, you know, hour five or so, so this was 8:30 or 9. The tiller handle broke. So we're like going down a wave and Charles is pulling, you know, cause he's pulling the tiller toward him to make the nose of the boat go down to the right. Cause the wind's coming from our left. And it's like, he's pulling really hard and it just, the wooden handle, tiller handle just snaps. The whole thing just snaps off. And so he like, you know, the boat rounds up and he jumps down and inside the more into the cockpit and grabs the remaining stub of a handle that's about 18 inches, fortunately. And I hop up because I was on the main, so I hop up and run downstairs to like look for our backup tiller, which we have. But I mean, the wind's blowing 20 knots, and there's no way to like, I mean, we would have had to take down the head sail and then turn up into the wind and just jamming up and down waves and then try to make, you know, fix this handle. So fortunately there was about 18 inches. So in the amount of time it took me to go down below and kind of find our tiller handle and start talking about what I was going to do. And I came back up. Charles was like, I think we're okay. Like I can handle it. You know, I can steer the boat fine from here. There's enough tiller handle on here to be able to, you know, steer the boat, adjust the rudder. But the only problem was like, usually when you're steering a boat, you either own a sailboat, you either have a wheel, you know, let's say you have a big wheel on the boat, or you have a tiller, which is just like the stick that comes off and you pull that. We have a tiller on our boat, and I love having a tiller because you can feel the water over the rudder. You can really feel the pressure, and it helps you be more like connected to the boat. But usually you're sitting up like on the side, close to the edge of the boat, and then you have an extension handle, which goes down to the tiller. So that way you're sitting up high enough that you can like look out over the water. You can feel the wind on your face, especially at night. That's makes a huge difference because, you know, feeling the way the wind is blowing and all that, it helps you steer in the dark.
Yeah, sure.
So that was the only weird thing, is that we couldn't do that because there was no extension on the tiller handle anymore. So you had to sit down in the cockpit. And so you're like sitting down inside, you're just, you know, and then we have a GPS that shows us like our direction. And so we set it to a point, and then there's just basically a direction. It's like go left or go right, however many degrees, right? It's like you need to go come up 2 degrees left or 10 degrees left or five degrees right. And you just kind of go up and down. And so you're just like sitting down the cockpit and he's just down there and like, okay, you know, I can do this. It's, you know, it's not great. And I'll just have to like look at the GPS, but it's manageable. And it's like, you know, at that point, we're just going so fast down the bay and we're watching and tracking all the other boats in our division who are all just going so fast down the bay. Everyone's going, we're like, we don't really have time to change it and we can sail this way. So Charles is, he finishes out his 2 hour, you know, stand on the wheel and then, or on the tiller. And then I go on and he takes over on the main and we switch. And so I'm like cruising along, and that's when the wind actually really picked up, and it picked up to like a consistent 20. And the waves were still big. And so for the next like 2 hours, I was just flying, you know, like averaging, you know, 9 knots. And then I would hit like high nines. And then there were a couple of times where I hit like 10-1, 10-2. And, I'd, you know, I'd kind of pick up on a wave and just boom, start down, just flying down the wave. And then at one point we just went up on a wave and we're flying down. And it actually kind of felt like it smoothed out. Like I was at the bottom of the wave and then the speed went up. So it must have just like hit into like a real smooth motion. It was like zoop, up to 10-7 and then back down to whatever, like 9-8. You know, it was like just that extra knot. It popped up and the GPS caught it. So we were like, holy shit, 10-7. It's crazy. It's like, you know, the fastest I've ever gone on a sailboat was 12.4 knots. And that was on our J24 in a similar situation, going downwind, going down waves. But that was a really light boat. So like in bigger waves, that boat actually go faster than our boat. But it's cool because like when you're, you know, when you're going that fast on a sailboat, it really feels fast because like, you hear the water around you and like you're used to going a certain speed and you can feel the wind pick up and you feel the boat like vibrating the hull. And then it's like, you really cruise and it's, you know, it's a little easier to feel that speed during the day because you can see the water passing by, but at night it's cool too, because you got all the kind of like, you can see the immediate water around your boat and then everything kind of gets dark, but all that water that's like close within your vision is just flying by the boat super fast, like, you know, and the waves are going up and down. And so it was awesome. We just felt like a rocket ship. And so, so we started at 3:30. We rounded Point Lookout, which is at the very southernmost part of the race course. You sail south and then you make a right turn. And so you sail northwest-ish up into the St. Mary's River, Potomac River, and then into St. Mary's River up to St. Mary's College. And so we rounded Point Lookout. We actually went by Point Lookout at 11:30 at night, which is just ridiculous because we're used to going around Point Lookout in the daytime the next day. You know, it's like 9 a.m. You know, sometimes there have been a few times in the last few years since we've had gun that we've finished earlier when we have a good wind. But like, I mean, I've sailed this race for 20, however many years, and
when Point I did Lookout, it, it was like 9 or 10.
In the morning, the next morning. Yeah, right. Exactly. So 11:30 p.m. We actually passed by Point Lookout, and it actually took us a little while to get to it because we were going downwind, off the wind on a reach or whatever, and so we had to jibe. So jibe is a downwind turn, and when you're on a boat, turning the boat downwind is much more aggressive and dangerous than turning it upwind, where the wind goes across the bow of the boat, so it flips over on the other side. When you're going downwind, you're turning your boat from the winds behind you and you're turning it in the opposite direction. And the reason why that is so much more aggressive is because your mainsail specifically is out really far. So there's the big boom pole and that's out far to one side or the other side. So when you're jibing, you're doing a turn downwind, that pole sweeps across the boat pretty aggressively. And now you can like trim it in pretty far and then turn. And we did that, but like, it's just a much more aggressive turn. So we just basically had everyone go down below, and Drew and Charles and I were up on deck and we're like, all right, here we go. Just got everything ready. And I was on the helm. The waves are trying to keep us from doing that. You know, like everything's pushing us. And so I like started, and also because the tiller handle was only 18 inches and I'm like trying to like turn it and flip around weird and push it to keep turning to the, you know, to the right. And I like, we actually tried to do one, but then it didn't go all the way through because the wind caught me and it like pushed the tiller handle back. So I hopped back on the other side and I was like, all right, here we go again. I tried it again and it got it, came across, but it was like, it was crazy. Just like super high winds and flying down. So then we like sailed up for a bit. So we actually like got down to where Point Lookout was probably closer to like 11 o'clock, but then it took us that like, you know, half an hour, 20 minutes to half an hour or so to get all the way over to it and then cross by it. So I was on the helm up to until that point, till we did that jibe and turn, and then Drew took over on the helm for the last hour and 40 minutes, I guess, or hour and or yeah. 2 hours or so, because we finished at 1:44 in the morning. Crazy speeds.
If I could be guaranteed to have that same timeline, I would I would definitely love to go with you guys again.
Yeah, because it's also like now that we're on the bigger boat, and that too is like that race, you know, there's not all that much you can do. You know, you have like someone on the mainsail who's trimming the main. And then you have someone who's kind of trimming the head sail a little bit, you know, like we're on a reach. So you don't have to really do all that much. You're just kind of looking up at the telltales occasionally and trimming it in and out a little bit. But And then you have the person on the like driving the boat. And other than that, the rest of the crew, which we had 9 total, everyone else is just like sitting on the high side or moving around or talking or getting snacks. You know, it's like,
yeah,
it was a pretty chill ride, although it was like fast, you know, but it was, yeah, it was crazy. And, the fastest boat, the boat that got what we call line honors, meaning like they were the first person to pass the finish line, they finished at 8:50 something, like 8:51 p.m. and they started at 3:30, or they started at 3 o'clock.
That's insane.
It's crazy. And then actually our buddy Steve, who races on another boat called Cookie, who we've raced against for years and years and years, he was on the other trimaran the boat that did it in that short amount of time was a trimaran. The other trimaran that he was on, they finished at 9:10 p.m. It's just crazy, like finishing so early in the evening. I mean, it was like for him that was like a 4.5 hour race or something.
It's still light out.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Still,
yeah,
still light. Yeah, they came in the light.
Oh, right. Exactly. Yeah, it was nuts. But yeah, it was a great race. We like went super fast the whole time. We didn't make any mistakes. We did everything like as good as we could do, and we still came in 4th out of 5 boats. So because in that situation, like our boat was technically the smallest in our division, in the B division.
Yeah.
And is also the slowest. So we have the worst rating. The boat that actually got first was the boat that was had the second worst rating. Like, so just better than our boat, you know, like, but they were actually the biggest boat in the division. So like they were able to like hold up bigger sails and just basically go faster the whole time, 'cause they were a big boat in the waves and stuff. So, and everyone's a bigger boat than us. And that was the thing. It was like one of those races where, you know, as long as you did the best you could do and didn't make any mistakes, then, you know, you're going to go really fast. And so it wasn't really a race where you could make a lot of mistakes, and you couldn't really make a ton of tactical errors because we're basically just sailing straight down the bay.
You could make up. Yeah, you couldn't have errors, but you also couldn't make up on other people's errors.
Exactly.
You're all just pushing your boat to the max, and then some boat, the bigger ones are just going to handle all of
it. Yeah, they're just going to go faster. Yeah, exactly.
And they're not going to be bumped around. And yeah. It's, but that's great.
It was awesome. It was a wild ride. And I mean, all the boats, there are 5 in our division, we all finished within 1 hour and 10 minutes of each other, you know? So everyone basically finished like between midnight or whatever, between like 12:30 and 1:44 when we finished. We actually finished last, but we corrected over the boat that finished in front of us due to the handicap time. But yeah, it was crazy. It was so fast. And I mean, everyone, you know, all the boats, like I think I forget what it was. It was like everyone was finished. Every boat in the race was finished by like 3:30 a.m. or something, which is crazy. Awesome. It was so wild. And it was, they said unofficially that the trimaran that finished first was the fastest anyone has ever done the race. And they were like, and they said it, they were like, we're pretty sure this is the fastest. It's a record, but you know, we'll have to verify that. We have to look back through the years and stuff. But
so
like,
do you guys still party on that the next night?
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. So like, you know, unfortunately the party has kind of really died down. But they have music, live music and stuff all throughout the day. They moved it from like, they used to do it behind the, like under a big tent behind the boathouse.
Yeah.
But now they do it. They set up the bands basically on that first floor of the boathouse facing the water. And then they have a bunch of tables and stuff all set out like on the water. Mm. So like all the parties there and the bars there and stuff. So it's not you know, so everyone's there, people are in the water, and throughout the day it was fine. There were, you know, there's a bunch of people around and there are a bunch of boats all out, but no one like stays anymore. Yeah. You know, by the time we like, you know, went to bed at whatever 10:30 or 11:30 or 7 was, because we're all getting up early. Like everyone had gone, basically. You know, almost all the boats were gone. There was like a handful of boats left, and you know, it was just quiet. We're like, man, oh well. Yeah, so I don't know. I mean, like there were a decent amount of boats in the race this year. I think it was something like 80 something total. You know, so the, like people are still racing it. They're just not staying for the party, which is a shame because that, you know, used to be like such a huge part. And I know that like they were talking about this year, the race director was talking about like hiring on new social media people and new people to like really work on it and try to like bring back, you know, a portion of what it used to be with like the entertainment and stuff. So we'll see.
Yeah.
But
well, I mean, it's
It's a great race.
Like I said, you start your own race.
Yeah,
with right, the people exactly, up yeah. near you, and like, look, what we do is we race to a cabana beach yeah. bar. Uh-huh. We all go there, and then we all race to another one, and then back.
Yeah, so. they do have a race. I think it's called the race to Saint. What is it? It's I forget. It's there's a race that goes down like across the bay and into another creek on the other side of the bay below the Bay Bridge, and then the next day there's a race back. I forget what it's called, but it's like right. maybe the Oxford race and then the race back or whatever. But it's fun. I mean, I love the race. I love doing it. You know, we do it each year and we've never won it, but we've gotten close. And I don't know if that's the draw, is like come back each year until you win it. But like, I don't know. I just feel like it's such an awesome race. I love racing overnight. And, you know, I'm always anticipating it for, you know, months. And then we come up, you know, within like 2 weeks of it and you start seeing what the weather looks like. And then, you know, like then the nervousness builds and then the anticipation builds. And then like, you know, it's great. But, we had a blast. It was super fun. Yeah. But yeah, I had that extra tiller handle. So once we got down to St. Mary's, the next day I took the old one off and put on the new one, and I had made a like aluminum collar that goes over the end of the tiller, the wooden tiller, to attach the handle extension onto. So I was able to take that off of the old one and put it onto the new one, so it'll like protect the new one and all. So for the way back. And then the way back is always fun, you know, because we always put up our bimini, which is this big canvas bimini that goes over the whole cabin area, and, mm-hmm. and we usually end up motor sailing. This year the wind was like directly in our face all day long, and kind of low winds. It was like 4 to 5 knots and just like straight on our nose all day. Mm-hmm. So we just motored home, and we just take turns, like take 2 hour shifts and play games and, you know, listen to music and do top fives and stuff. It's fun. We have a good time.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And then I, and then the week after that, so we got back on Sunday pretty late. I think probably about, we hit the dock, I think like 11:30, and we, you know, left St. Mary's at 6:00. So much longer day on the water. But, we left on Wednesday morning to go up to Lake George, New York. And that's our annual vacation with Nicole's parents and all of her friends and family from growing up. And that was awesome. It was like beautiful weather. We had an awesome time. It's always awesome. There's great people there and lots of drinks and lots of good food. And we rented a pontoon boat for one day. And so like,
oh, nice.
Yeah, it was the...
we did that too recently.
Nice. Yeah, it's so much fun.
It is like, fun.
And that's such a great lake because it's got all... It's like tons of islands and little coves and stuff. So you can kind of just like wander around. And we found like 2 different places to stop and swim for a while. And, you know, had food and took the kids out. And yeah, it was awesome. So much fun. But yeah, it was great. And then we had a good time and then came back on Sunday. And then actually my father-in-law was here because my mother-in-law was going up to visit some friends up in Vermont and do like a girls weekend thing after Lake George. So we drove back and my father-in-law was with us. So he came back here and I had actually cut and made, he has, in our kitchen area, we did all new butcher block countertops. So we did like, you know, right. new to us. I got from Habitat restored mm-hmm. different pieces and cut them all to fit for our countertops. And so my father-in-law asked if we had a piece that was like 19 by 27 or something like that, inches or 26 inches. And, I didn't have anything that was that size, but I did have a piece that was like 12 by 58 inches. So I cut that in half and then planed the edges and glued it together to make, you know, a bigger board that he can cut down. But that was like surprisingly difficult to do that by hand because I don't have a jointer, which is what you would normally use. You use a jointer and you do both sides, they'd be perfectly flat, and then you glue them together. I don't have a jointer, so I just cut it as straight as I could, and I just used a circular saw instead of like trying to, you know, so I just did it like really straight, and then And then, you know, putting the sides together, I just put them together and just used my hand plane and used scrapers and stuff and just kind of kept working at it until I got both edges to be as close as possible.
Yeah.
And then that glued that up and it turned out really good. I'm really happy with the way it turned out. And so I sanded it on, and then the morning that I took him home, we actually stopped him. All right, before we left, we got his final dimensions and I cut it to size. And so he'll do the final finish on it. But I'm glad that, like, I was able to have that and do it for him, because that'll work really well in the space in their house. So, but it was fun to, like, work on something in the shop other than just organization, you know, because that's what I've been doing. It's been just like, you know, unpacking boxes and reorganizing stuff. I almost went in and hung up all the string lights, but I don't have enough. I want to do screw hooks, you know, and just hang them up that way. That way I can, like, move them around if I need to, or, you know, like, adjust some stuff. So pick up a bunch of screw hooks and I can screw them up into the ceiling and then hang those string lights up around and get a nice light in there. Cause it's surprising because of the size of that space. Like, I have six lights above, like, half the shop right now. Mm-hmm. Four of them that are on the, like, are clamp lamps. So they're kind of directional, and two that are just bulbs. Mm. And it's still, like, not very much light. It's like, it doesn't feel like that much. So,
yeah. And I mean, they're normal bulbs too. Yeah. So they're not like,
yeah, they're not crazy. But I've been moving stuff around. I got, like, I don't know if I'd said this, but I got all the blacksmithing stuff out of the shop. And
right,
then I was moving some more stuff the other day. Yeah. I got this shelving unit that was right inside the door at the old shop that was kind of cut at an angle. I moved that back in against one wall over under the ladders and then cleared that whole space out. And so now I have just, like, a few more boxes. Those, like, ropes that are hanging near the ladders, I actually put up two are like, LED light tripod, and then there's another light tripod that I put together from things that we had in the old shop that we never really used. It's like another big super bright, you know, studio light plus our LED light.
Yeah.
And I had them kind of, like, hanging up in those two string rafters up out of the way. So I'm, like, starting to get, like, the feeling of the space. And
yeah,
but yeah, no, it's been good. It's been fun to, like, just have the summer to really take my time and you know, and get stuff, like, you know, like, I kind of like the fact that I can live in the space as I'm doing it. You know, I'm a super rush, just get it all set up right away. And then, you know, then have to, like, backtrack and change things. So it's been interesting, and it's been a fun summer of reorganization. And I did get that clear plastic stuff for the windows. I haven't put it up yet. So,
oh, good.
Like the frosted glass stuff. Yeah. So I got that. And, yeah, I did reach out to Mr. Cool, but I haven't heard back from them yet, so we'll see.
Son of a... That Mr. Cool, he's a...
I have to reach out to somebody else, see if... maybe I'll find someone who's used them and have, like, give me your contact.
But, right. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes you just need a person.
A real person. Yeah, yeah, right. And that's what, you know, I basically just emailed their, like, contact email. It's like, contact, I know, us, it's here, you know? And I
was, yeah,
like,
oh, half the time that doesn't work, or it just goes to whoever, yeah, and they don't really have any power, and they don't really care to send you one to someone else.
Right, exactly, yeah.
It's, yeah.
But yeah, that's been good. I've been, you know, just kind of puttering around the shop and doing different small things and getting things set up, and just hung up a new ceiling fan in our living room today, which is really nice. And Nicole was very happy about that because we ordered it and came in, like, almost 3 weeks ago, but we've just been so busy. And so her birthday's coming up, and she was like, "Could you get the fan up for my birthday?" I was like, that's a crappy birthday present. And she's like, "Well, I know that I had to say something to make you do it." So,
oh, that's messed up. I still want a regular present, but do this too.
Yeah, right.
Have you reached out to Austin at all about Maker Camp anymore? About any details?
I have not. I have not specifically, so.
You better reach. I mean, are you... You've definitely talked at least about presenting?
Yeah, I think so. I think he reached out to me early, like in, like, February.
We're getting down to it.
You want
to
do it again? So.
It's less than 8 weeks away.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's like, I'm happy to, you know, to do bow making again, but also, like, you know, if not, that's fine too. I'm like, either way, you know. But no, I'd love to do it because I think it's been fun and it's a great way to, like, you know, keeping me doing things with bow making, which is always good.
Right. Or even if, yeah, I mean, you could literally just do the shooting too if you didn't want to actually, you know what I mean?
Yeah, right.
Then you'd have less to do, you know, during the day to free yourself up for other things to enjoy
it. Right, right.
Like, hey, I just do bow shooting.
Yeah.
Just and you talk to people about bows. Mm-hmm. You know, like, hey, we have two shootings a day, and then I demonstrate some stuff before we start shooting, but then, you know, then no, I think I think people definitely enjoy it. I mean, there's always a line until you're done.
Right.
You just have to, I wish we had more room.
Yeah.
You know, where you could have three people at once, or I feel like it could be more. Mm-hmm. Whether we want it to be more or not is the question, but it could be more of an event for a lot of people to watch, you know. It is something, right. You know.
Yes.
Yeah. It's definitely something cool to see.
Right. Yeah, I'll reach out to him this week and, you know, see what he thinks and see what we can do to hype it up a little bit more or something. Because I think, you know, he loves all that type of stuff. Like, any, like, ideas, he's always willing to hear and willing to do stuff to it. So I'll just pick his brain a little bit. That'll be fun.
Yeah. And just seeing all the Field of Tools stuff has got me like, kind of need to figure out.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Labor Day Sale and get 35% off paints and stains August 22nd through September 4th. With prices starting at $31.84, it's the perfect time to transform your space with color. Whether you're looking to revamp your interior or exterior, we have you covered with bold hues, soothing neutrals, and everything in between. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store or shop the sale online. Delivery available on qualifying orders. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
You know, what we're going to do or how can we improve it a little bit if we do it again.
Right. Yeah. 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 Cause I think last year was great. Like you said, there was a line the whole time for the archery stuff and, you know, shooting, and we had lots of people hanging out in the booth and watching the demos and stuff. So, I think that there's definitely the interest there, and I like that it's a little different, you know, than what other people are doing. Like, and actually it's nice because we're like, where I was set up last year, we were right next to Tracy from Bastion Head, and you know, they're also doing like draw horse stuff and, you know, shaping things with hand tools and all. So it's like, it's cool to see that, you know. And then there was like, you know, there was all the lathe turning stuff and like all the woodworking stuff was there. So people can see the different ways you're using it. But then I'm doing like, you know, primitive stuff with bow making, which I think is fascinating enough for most people. They're like, oh, that's so cool. You know, like, or like everyone's got like a story like, oh, my grandfather used to do bows, or like, oh, I shot bows as a kid. You know, like, so it's fun to have that, and I think it's a good addition to it. And I, you know, like, I know last year at the end, I talked to Austin for like a minute, you know, or two, and he was like, oh, this is great, you know, so glad you could do it again this year. Like, I'm, you know, excited to do it again next year too. And I was like, cool, right on, man. Sounds good. So, you know, it's I'm always happy to do it, and I just assume that it will happen, and I'll verify with him, but.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I think he's got, you know, it's not like he's hurting for space, right? There's always like, there's
right. Well, that's one thing you should say, hey, am I doing it again? And can we get somewhere that more people can see it? Because we're kind of squished up against that road.
Right, yeah.
It was hard for everyone to see and then kind of line up there. Because if we could make it kind of more of a hangout and you just call the person's name or something, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, right.
Then it's
like a bunch of like bales of hay out in a big circle.
Right, like you said, it should be a hang instead of a waiting in line. Because people did have to wait for an hour.
Yeah, right.
You know, to shoot. And they, it's like, well, you can leave, but like, you had to kind of have someone there, or you kind of had to know someone.
Right.
Like, hey, yeah. Can you save my spot for an hour? Like, right, it should right. just be like...
Yeah, come up and put your name on the
like
board.
An, I mean,
yeah.
you could have a name and or number. Right, literally yeah. pulling a number. Because you can walk by and be like, I'm number 36, and he's on 10.
Yeah.
Right, you know, and yeah. you kind of right then you have a thing.
Yeah.
And then that might be better. You know, just have, yeah. like, hey, give us your first name, and we'll give you a number. So mm-hmm. you can be like, hey, Mike, 11.
Right, yeah.
Mike here. All right. And then just move on and be like, ah, you missed it. It's just, that's just what I have to be like, ah, sorry, bud. Like, you know, you just got to yeah, like move
right,
on.
And, right.
But then yeah. people can, yeah, like we said, hay bales and hang around and, you know, some, maybe some drinks or something. Like, right. whatever. Just people, more yeah. of a hang.
Bow shoot happy hour.
Right, yeah. right.
Yeah, no, I like it. That's good because it's like, you know, right, kind of right before dinner, because we did it like, what, 5 mm-hmm. to 6 or something like that, mm-hmm. 5 to 6:30. So it was like a good kind of evening thing to do after, you know, as things are winding down. But yeah, yeah, I'll reach out to anybody else who's listening. If you guys have good ideas about it, or, you know, Austin and want to like send him some information about, you know, what you think it would be cool to have, and more people asking to kind of involve that and make it more of an event. I think that'd be cool. It'd be fun.
Yeah. Yeah. I really wish we could have a range area, right? Where you could have 3 to 5 targets, you know, and then
yeah, right.
really, then people yeah. could sit around and watch, and like, it's like a thing. And then you could have one, we should have one like shoot off
right.
on like Saturday mm. of presenters, you know, so as people's know, like, hey, yeah, this person are all going to shoot, you know. And right. we know enough of the presenters that you can get some of them and have a little shoot-off. It'll just be a fun thing, you know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, I'm making notes as we speak of things to include in the message out to Austin, see what we can do.
See if we want better positioning, and we need...
Celebrity shoot-off.
Yeah, yeah.
and the yeah. happy hour. Yeah, I like that. Like,
right. Like, if we sponsor it, and that's also another thing. I mean, I know Austin sells his own. He has his own bar. But you right. got to work that out with him. Like, hey, if we get a, you know, whatever. If we yeah. can, if we can do a happy hour or something. Or
right, exactly. I mean, we buy, you know, a couple cases of Natty Bo and put them in a big cooler of ice, you know, like right. Baltimore beer happy hour.
Come on by.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think that'll be fun. I mean, it's always good. And, you know, like I said, I did make a new bow this year, so I made one for Corinne with awesome like recurve tips and stuff. So it'd be fun to bring that along and show that. And I was thinking it would be cool to do like a bending demonstration during the demos, because it's really nice, and Osage really likes to bend pretty quickly. So, you know, like if I can have some electricity, then I can, you know, get the heat gun and set up a bending jig and show how you would like do bending, or do, you know, taking the twist out of a stave or something. So
yeah, yeah. And you could you could also do shaping, final right. shaping of it. Mm-hmm. I don't know, you know, you'd have to have something close to shaping where you kind of already have it almost there,
right?
And then you just spend 2 hours. Mm-hmm. And that's fun to see the bent, right? You know, you get to see it moving, you yeah. know, and yep. you might have even like already strung it once at home.
Yeah.
But here you can just, you're like just finessing. Like, look, I know it won't break if I try to string it.
Right. Yeah.
I already have the string at the right. I'm just like showing people what you would do and taking off very little amounts.
The final tillering. And that's what I did. That was, 2 years ago. It was the last day, right. the last hour, did the final tillering of the bow that I had. Same thing. I had a bow that was really close to being done. And just final tillered it out, and then it broke right in the last few minutes.
And I've been thinking, like, I don't know what exactly what I want to do either, because I'm half helping you, obviously right. not when you're demonstrating, but when you're actually doing the shoots.
Right.
I was like getting people in line and taking names and like, yeah. But I'm half doing things. I feel like I need a video goal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I need to do that too.
Right.
I just don't know what it is, what the angle is, you know,
right, like, yeah.
I just, don't know what I want to do. And this year I want to talk to more people. You know, I feel like last year I didn't get to talk to that many people.
Right.
Yeah. I don't know why. Like, maybe I just have to make more concerted effort to go hang out with the different presenters and stuff. And but, you know, everyone's so busy. It's really trying to find. And that's another thing for the archery hang. Right. At least we can go, hey, we're going to be here.
Yeah.
At this time.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, we can have one night or Friday night or Saturday night, we'll all be here for a bit. Mm-hmm. You know, starting at 8 o'clock or whatever. We'll all be hanging out here. We're going to hang out for an hour or two.
Right.
And then if we all head somewhere else, because someone else is doing something cool, but we're definitely going to be here. Mm-hmm. And then we can invite everyone there and have, you know, a bunch of tiki torches or something around the, shooting area.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah. No, it's always, I like the, you know, I like the community aspect of Maker Camp. You know, that's what we love about it. And so that's always been fun about the bow shoot, right? It's just like, you just get to hang out and talk with people for a little bit and like shoot bows and, you know, give them some pointers and, you know, people cheer people on and stuff. And I like how we did last year. We had the, you know, the scoring system and then we had the shoot off at the end and that was fun. It gave people like a goal, you know. It's like, oh, look what I did, you know. They're all like, you know, talking about their points and stuff. So yeah, I think it can only get better. Yeah. So it's fun. Yeah. And then I have one more vacation leaving tomorrow morning or tomorrow midday or so, and we're going down to Virginia to Airbnb house in the Shenandoah with a couple friend couples and kids and stuff, and do a little last hurrah before I go back to work next week.
Be nice.
It is nice.
Back to
back to the real world.
Back to school and then everything else. And
yep, yeah. But yeah, and then so I go back next Tuesday, and then you know, I'm there for the week, and then my students come back the following week. So Corinne has one more week off before school starts for her first sophomore year. It's exciting.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been, you know, like talking about different stuff. Her birthday's coming up, so Nicole and I are looking at different things. I think we're going to get her. She's been talking about wanting a, like a tablet or an iPad or something to do more digital drawing and stuff. And so we're looking at that, getting her a new, you know, iPad and stylus and all, and new backpack and, you know, different clothes for school. And she's actually going to get her hair like dyed and cut. She wants to get like kind of an auburn red and then like some bleach blonde highlights and stuff underneath and all. So I'm like, cool. Okay. So we had a, an appointment at the salon on Main Street, right up the street the other day. And so she went up there, but then her time slot, was not long enough to do the stuff that she wanted to do. So like, yeah, you have to reschedule for a different time slot because we got somebody coming in after you that's like not enough time to do all the stuff. So,
right.
So hopefully we'll be able to reschedule that for sometime next week so she can get it done before school starts. And yeah.
Cool.
It's all been good. So my truck, I think I told you how like I fixed the wheel bearings in the front.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I did the whole, like, the job, the front left wheel bearing, and it's great. Like, the truck is awesome. It's running really good. It's really, like, smooth and quiet. It's not squeaking, not grinding. It's all great. I was actually going on to the MVA, Maryland Vehicle Administration website the other day to change my address on my license, because you can do it like through the website. They just send you a new mm-hmm. license with a new address on it. So I was doing that, and then while I was there, I was like, you know, I looked at the registrations and I was like, oh, I could, you know, redo the registration for the truck for whatever. And so, because in Maryland we have registration stickers that go on the license plates, and that, you know, for a certain amount of years or whatever, then you have to redo it. So I clicked on the registration for the truck, and I got a warning pop up that popped up that said, like, this vehicle no longer is qualifies for historic tags because they just made a law July 1st that it's like your vehicle has to be a 1999 vehicle or older to get historic tags, which I guess means it's probably like 25 years instead of 20.
Yeah.
And my truck is a 2001. I'm like, crap.
No.
And it's got like body rust and there's rust on the bumper and it's, you know, the emergency brake wire.
You're not going to pass inspection on that.
No, exactly. Yeah. And so I can register my truck. I just have to get inspected before I can register it. And it's not going to pass inspection.
No.
And I could do the stuff to get it to pass, but like,
no,
it's just not worth it. You know, I'm like, yeah. So now I'm looking for a new truck.
All right.
And yeah, so like, I was like, well, you know, we have the Nissan Rogue and it's like a nicer, newer vehicle. And, you know, Nicole and I just paid it off last year or whatever. So like, okay, well, time for a nicer, newer truck for me.
Nice.
So I've been doing some research into like the, you know, better vehicles over the last 10 years. So I'm looking at somewhere in the like 2015 to 2018 range. Right. Mm-hmm. So like in that year, because it's like old enough that I can get it for an okay deal, but not so old that it won't have like modern amenities and stuff. So I think I'm leaning toward an F-150, like a 2017. And the reason why I'm thinking that is because as of 2015, the F-150s, they got rid of the turbo, which is what yours had, because yours was 2010, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they got rid of the turbo, and then they also had the aluminum body.
Yeah, it's better for rust.
Yeah, better for rust and it's a lot lighter for, you know, fuel economy and stuff. And they still have, like a 2.7 liter or 2.5 and a 3.7. So V6, 3.7 liter engine. And I'd get the four-door, six-foot bed. So that's what I'm looking for. So
Why four-door?
So I'm kind of looking at, you know, I like the full-size truck. I like the full-size cab.
Yeah.
You know? So like, you know, if they have a decent looking one that's got like the extended cab, you know, with like the backwards facing doors, it's kind of just smaller in the era of the trucks. So I don't mind doing a four door cab and then the 6 foot bed. So that's kind of what I'm looking at. I'm just doing some research on like the best trucks in the last 10 years, you know, 2015 to 2025. Mm-hmm. And the three trucks I think that were on the top of the list, the F-150 was one of them. A GMC Sierra, I think, was the other one on the list. And then the Toyota Tacoma was the third. So those three trucks were like, you know, had got the best ratings in the last 10 years.
Yeah. I wouldn't buy, for me, I wouldn't buy any other American company other than Ford. Just all the rest, I've just gone such sharply downhill that I'm saying used. The thing is though, all these trucks, they all do last 5 years,
right?
So people do buy new Chevys and new whatever just because they are what I like the way it looks, I like it's nice inside, but they get rid of it after 5 years.
Yeah, right.
And then it's everyone else has to deal with it from 5 to 15 years. That's when all the issues show up,
right?
Like, oh shit, why didn't they do this, why didn't they do that, why'd they use this and that.
So, right, yeah.
I mean, if you're getting a full-size truck, I mean, in my opinion, F-150 is the way to go, unless you were to go with Toyota, then that's just, you know, a Tundra and stuff, but...
Right, yeah.
Those are crazy expensive. Those are even more expensive than F-150s, obviously.
Yeah, and the most of the ones we're looking at, you know, from that era, like, with, you know, 15 to 17, 18, something like that, are all, you know, most of the ones are over 100,000 miles, and they're anywhere between like $15,000 and $20,000, you know. So
over 100,000 miles
for over 100,000 miles. Yeah. I mean, there's a few that are under, but not many. And if they are under, then they get up into like $22,000, $23,000, $24,000, you know, for,
well, just climb under and look for rust.
Yeah.
even for the Tacomas, even when I was looking at it, you know, 2020 and above Tacomas, a lot of them, it's just some had rust and some don't, you know, it's just, crazy. I went to one Nissan dealership to look at the Tacoma, and there was rust all over it.
Just
all over it. And it was like a 22.
Yeah, it's
crazy. I was like, hey, what, look at this. Oh, what rust? It's like, either you're stupid or you're a liar. I didn't say that to him, but that's what I'm saying. I'm like, hey, what do you mean? No, you can go see. Like, well, come on out. And like, I was like climbed under and peeled things off of different parts of the body. Like, hey, look, you know, the frame, I mean, but you know what I mean?
Right,
stuff like that. Yeah. I'm like, hey, it's a 22.
Yeah.
It should not be this rusty.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. That's the other reason why I like the F-150, because they have the aluminum body.
Right. I mean, and obviously there's still other stuff. He's stealing stuff, but
yeah, of course, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I mean, you do the basic looking around. That's a big one, and
yeah, yeah.
But you know, you'll find something cool. I mean, Guy did just get the, but he spent a pretty penny.
Right.
He got the 24 or the 23 F-150. I think is sweet.
Yeah.
That one's real nice, but he paid for it.
Yeah. Right. Exactly. Yeah. So we'll see. You know, that's what we're looking at now, and my truck tags are expired, so my registration is expired, so I'll have to get it soon.
Don't say it.
I mean,
announcing
it to everyone, all 250 people listening. Hello,
if
everyone.
If you narc us out.
I know, what is it? Odisser Pinto, who's Pinto Handmade Knives or Pinto Knife Making on Instagram. He works somewhere doing inspections. I forget where it was, but I've joked about with Chip and the guys from the Knives Templars podcast. They're like, yeah, if you need someone to do your inspection in Maryland, go to Otis here.
Oh, yeah. Well, don't. Hey, you're giving away a bunch of stuff.
That's all right. He's a good dude.
He'll do it for $100.
No, but I did get my car fixed, which is great. Jerry got it fixed for us, and everything was awesome. Oh, man.
This is our podcast now. It's our shit breaking down and you go on vacation. That's every 2 weeks. I'd
update everybody on the truck because it's like
every 2 weeks our shit's files. Broken down and then Dustin's gone somewhere.
And at least what I've been working on in the house.
I'm hoping.
New ceiling fan.
I'm hoping. I don't have any issue for a while.
Yeah.
Bless the Toyota Tacoma. Knock on wood.
I actually just went up today and picked up a hat press from a guy kind of over past Westminster. I picked it up for my buddy Sean. He bought it, but it's closer to me, so I drove out and picked it up. And the guy had a 2024 GMC Sierra, and so I was like, "How do you like the Sierra?" I was chat with him a little bit, and he's like, "Yeah, I like it." He's like, "You know, I used to always get Rams," and then he's like, "I had a 22 F-150, or he had a." I don't know if he's F-150 or F-250, but he said it had some, like, kept having weird electrical problems, so he got rid of it and got the 2024 Sierra, which he likes so far. But
well, yeah,
like,
I mean, you know. That is, right, that's the thing, though. It's like, yeah, I had issues, and then I just bought something that's only 3 years old instead of 7 years old. You know what I mean? It's like that. You're like, oh, of course.
Yeah, right.
Because
yeah.
That is the thing. Every time, like, whoever is buying the brand new cars are getting rid of them after 5 years.
Right.
It's just how it is. And then everyone else has to deal with what that company does right and wrong.
Yeah.
None of that stuff is glaringly obvious under, you know, a lot of people get to 50,000 miles and they're like, next.
Yeah, right. They trade it in for
however much money. Yeah, and then the rest of us get it for the rest of it. Luckily, I mean, this time we did spend more money, but that was more Caitlin's thing.
Yeah.
But, you know, she gets, I mean, I'm used to things breaking down.
Right.
But she's more of a, you know, she's a lady, you know, girls always starting in high school, you know, the lady, oh, we got to give them something safe. We got to give them this and that. Boys right, always exactly, like, here's whatever's left. Here's this thing. like good luck.
If it breaks down in the middle of the night, give me a call. We'll come get you. Right. Just hang out on the side of the road.
Girls are like, well, I guess we can get them something 3 years old. Like, it better be safe. Like, every girl I knew had a really nice vehicle, and it was always ours. Was, you know,
right? And there's like, yeah, they always like parents always took care of it really good and got all the oil changes and did everything for
you. Know,
them,
we
like,
got to make sure it's this and that. Boys apparently don't need safe vehicles.
No, exactly. Nope. Just builds character for dudes.
That's right.
Like, it's a piece you need of a vehicle shit. You got to work on, and I may need
speakers
to break down
are good though. You need good stories later in life of
exactly.
Shitty vehicles.
All the doors falling off. Let's make some leather hinges for you. It'd be all right.
Well, so you didn't care then. You know, you were just happy you had something that moved.
I know, right?
And it had seats in it. Like, yeah, cool. Pile in.
Exactly. Who's going for a ride? Let's do it.
Yeah. But next week, I guess you won't be away.
No.
Right?
I'll be here.
I mean, I got some more Orioles games and.
Yep.
Ravens football. Oh, I might. Spoiler alert. This is one nice thing about working with Scott is I might be going to a Texas Woodworkers Convention.
Well, right on.
I'm going to talk to him tomorrow about that, and we'll see whether it's worth, you know, bringing me along and, you know, extra expenses for all that shit. But that might, and guess who's showing? Or who's going to be there? I was like, I know one Texas maker.
Who's a Texas maker?
An old podcast guest.
Texas. Who's in Texas? Is it Andy?
Yeah.
Andy Rawls.
Andy Rawls.
Yeah. Nice. Heck yeah.
I was like, oh, I can reach out. It was funny. It was like, okay, if we do go to Texas, I know one person.
Yeah.
And then it popped up like, oh, he'll be there. I was like, I'm perfect.
Nice. Yeah, it was so, like the other person I know who's in Texas is Valiant Armory, the guy who does all the swords and stuff.
Oh, right, right.
He's out of Texas. Because we were like, because at first I thought he said something about being in Virginia.
I know you did. We like, I know, we're like, oh, we'll drive down there.
Yeah, well, like he treat the sword in your ovens and stuff. And it'd still be a cool video, but, you know, we might not be driving to Texas. Maybe we'll send it down to him. But
So we'll see. I might have my own vacation soon, but it'll also shooting. I guess it would just be one of the vlog videos.
Yeah.
From Texas. Yeah, so that would be cool to, cause I want to do that type of stuff no matter who it's with. I like the idea of doing that. Going exciting places. That's something that can't be replaced by AI, is humans going places and like seeing cool new things. Cause that's the type of stuff I like to watch.
Yeah.
When people I watch go somewhere, you know, you're like, oh, cool, where are they going? You know, it's just more interesting.
Right, who are they going to see? Who are they going to talk to? Like, oh, look at this cool person. Yeah, no,
it's like every great sitcom back in the day. It would be a big special episode, like, the gang goes to Vegas, or, you know, they all go to somewhere. You know, you're like, oh, everyone tunes in because you want to see someone out of their area.
Right, exactly. Doing something different, yeah.
But so we'll see some interesting stuff come up, and then eventually we'll do another art of craftsmanship, you know, video. We promise.
We promise. Yeah, I know. I've been thinking about I was thinking about using one of the bow staves to make like an axe handle or something, and, you know, do like using bow wood to make an axe or whatever.
I think
it'd be fun.
There was a one day build we could do is making a cube set. Because I think we need a cube set anyway.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And then it's just the video is making the best yard game ever, you know?
Right, yeah.
And then you just show people how to make it, and then we do, like, a demonstration of how to play it.
Right.
That might be 2 days if we add the demonstration, but really, it's just cutting.
Yeah.
Cutting wood to certain measurements, but you could go and show people, like, hey, with this amount of money, you could go, whatever, if we go to, like, go to Home Depot and get whatever.
And we could do something with, you know, spray painting him or something, you know, or like mask him off to do like some stripes of color or something on the different things or whatever, you know. Yeah, no, that'd be fun. That's definitely like a good like 1 day build, you know.
Yeah, for sure.
And you know, and maybe.
And you don't need your whole shop. You don't need everything.
Right.
You
know, exactly.
You kind of what you can do it with what you have. And
yeah, it's like the chop saw, and that's about it.
Like chop saw.
Measure some things.
You can do it, the king in the middle. You could make a little bit more of a crown, like some sets have. The king has like a little head with a crown. So
that'd be fun. Yeah.
Something like that.
Nice. And that's a good idea. I like that.
Yeah.
It'd be fun. Yeah. And like I've been, you know, there's a couple different tools and stuff in the shop that I've kind of unearthed that I thought would be fun to do restoration videos on, and figuring out how I'm going to hang up the axe collection. That might be an interesting video, you know, like try to figure out some type of rack system that I can hang up axes and stuff and axe heads and all. So.
Yeah. And just, you know, figuring, like I said before, figuring out different ways we can shoot it all where it can be half normal way we do it, half Jimmy DeResta style of if you're doing a bunch of different restorations of things, you just set it up, but you're, you know, the GoPro or DJI or whatever it is, and we just talk over it, but we also do intros and outros and interesting bits we shoot normal.
Yeah. Just mix the different
stuff. Just to get more stuff out. Nowadays we can't compete with other channels as far as views because we just don't put out enough.
Right, yeah. And we just can't put out that much because we both just have lives.
Yeah, right. But, you know, we could maybe do two videos a month instead of one. You know?
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. Really get crazy with it.
I know. Yeah, sometimes I'll look back and it was like, I'll see videos that are like, it'll be like, you know, 9 months ago, 10 months ago, 11 months ago, 11 months ago. I'm like, oh, nice. We had two in the same month. Like 12 months ago, and then like 14 months ago. I'm like, all right.
You know, what you can do? All the old videos are there.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Nice. Cool. Right on. All right. Well, what do you think? You got something to recommend?
Yeah. I'm actually going to watch the second episode tonight.
Oh, hello.
The new show, Alien Earth.
Ah, all right.
So good. Or nice. Last night I watched the first episode. Awesome.
Nice.
Like the same aesthetic as the original Alien.
Right.
And then the last movie, did you see that last Alien movie?
The one, it came out not too long ago, right?
Yeah, did you see that?
I did not.
That was really good. That's worth a watch.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think
it's like Resurrection or something.
Yeah,
or,
I think we're getting to a generation of people who appreciate the original few, you know, Alien and Aliens, you know, like people are finally recognizing we've got far enough away where they're recognizing that that's like, let's try to emulate some of that, but also, you know, make it, move it forward, but in that style, because that's that's what makes those movies great. Is the style, the way they shot it, the creatures, obviously, the art,
right?
Of what's that guy, Grieger or whatever his name is? It's not
Geiger.
Geiger, yeah. That you know, his weird, sexual, weird, creepy like art is such a huge part of it, and also building really. Really great big sets and having big set pieces, but actually building them. And you can tell that like hands were at work creating these amazing things and then putting them on film. So there are really cool sets, and obviously there's CGI because you have to with spaceships and stuff nowadays.
Right. Yeah.
But like there's great creature work and great set work, and the actors are good. And the kind of interesting thing, I mean, I don't know much about it so far, but it's called Alien Earth, so it's like there's going to be some alien action on Earth, but you're learning about the different factions of companies and stuff, and who's making cyborgs and who's doing this and who's experimenting on these things. So you kind of get a different angle. It's not just people trapped in space somewhere. It's like landing and seeing this kind of futuristic Earth world and what's going on there. But
sweet.
It's
it keeps popping up like, you know, ads on like commercial, like on the radio I'm listening to, but also on like, you know, Amazon, like the Fire Stick and stuff is popping up.
So. Right. So I might, we'll see. It might change. It's Disney. So it's on Hulu or Disney.
Okay.
I think it might be on Disney Plus. I know Disney's absorbing Hulu, so we'll see. But I watched on Hulu last night.
Nice.
Yeah. Oh man, it's good. So we'll see. I mean, I might change my tune. It might stink, but I think it feels good. It feels right. You know.
Nice. Yeah. Sweet. Right on. I have one kind of recommendation I haven't gotten very far in, but I started watching the show Arcane. Have you heard about Arcane? So it's based off of the game League of Legends, you know, follows a couple characters, but it's an animated series. Nicole and Corinne both watched it within the last year, and they both loved it, and so I started watching it, and it was pretty good so far. Nicole, before I started watching it, she's like, it's a series that I would rate like a 10 out of 10. She's like, not many series are 10 out of 10, but so it's pretty good so far. I like the animation style and all, but I figured I'd mention that because that is cool so far. My recommendation this week is actually Brandon Russo Whiskey River Trading Company. We've gotten like a string of comments on the video that we did where I hung an axe head on a 30C. It's like how to hang an axe head, you know. And then we went through the steps and stuff. And there have been a bunch of people commenting on it saying how they really like it and they like different parts and stuff. And so thinking about that, Brandon just released 3 new axe handles on his website. And they're really cool. So one is the 36C. So he's got the 30C, which is what he sent to us, and what I bought a couple of as well. And so they're kind of a real, like a French curve, like a real curvy axe handle with a nice big palm swell and a big head so you can hang it or whatever. So he has like the 28C and the 30C. So he just came out with the 36C. So for people who like longer axe handles, he has the new curvy one in 36 inches. The second axe handle that he has, which is really awesome, is a racing axe handle. So for actual, like, you know, people who do timber sports and have like big, you know, axe heads for racing and stuff, he's got a new handle for that. So it's got a, kind of a big palm, so it's a little bit chunkier, but it's got a really big eye. So if you have an axe head that has a big eye in it, like a Tasmanian axe or something like that, that has a larger than normal eye, the racing axe handle will be really good for it. So that's really cool, because there aren't really any other companies that offer race handles other than like professional race, you know, axe companies. And the third one he has is a, what he's calling the 24 inch Scandi. And so it's like a Scandinavian style axe handle. And some of the Scandinavian style heads have a tapered eye inside the axe. And so they're kind of called, like, they call them collared axes, because the, instead of the eye being like a teardrop shape, but like a standard, basically vertical, you know, with a, you know, it's got an hourglass on the inside. It's basically a vertical axe eye. The eye tapers to the top of the head. And so it's a weird kind of shape. And most of the ones that are made that way are like handmade. So they're all a little bit different. So the axe handle is all shaped, but the head of it is just like basically a block. So it's not shaped to any standard shape. It's just this block. So it's really versatile. So you could hang a normal axe head on it with American style eye, or you can hang a collared axe on it. So he's got those 3 new axe handle styles. He just put them up for sale on his website now. And so go check him out. The other thing he's doing also is he's right now until next Saturday, which is like August the 23rd or something like that, there's an auction going on, and he has an auction site that he does often. He'll auction axes and axe handles and stuff. I bought axe handles from his auctions before. But right now he has a load of C-grade handles. And so when you have like axe handles, you have the A grade, which is like, you know, the grain's perfect, there's no flaws, there's nothing wrong with it at all, you know, everything's perfectly straight, that's your A grade. Your B grade is like really good grain, but maybe, or maybe it's like everything is good, but you might have a little bit of run out, or everything, all the grain is straight, but half of it is heartwood, or all the grain is straight, but you have like a tiny curve in something that's not perfect. And then you have your C grade axes, which are, again, axe handles that, which are still good axe wood. It's just maybe there's like a knot or like a blemish in the wood somewhere that would make it, you know, still a perfectly good axe handle, probably better than anything you're going to find at a hardware store. But in Brandon's eyes, it's a C grade. And usually he doesn't sell the C grades online. He has them at a store, and you can go and you can go through the C grade bin and you can buy axe handles. But he's selling a load of C grade axe handles on auction, and they come in bundles of 5. So he's got like all the styles that he has, which are all awesome styles, and they're all in bundles of 5 with no like reserve limit, so you can go in and bid whatever you want. You know, all the bids go, they go up $5 at a time. I think I bid on 5 different bundles, and with the intent to maybe buy like 2 or 3 bundles. And I'm not gonna like bid super high up, but you know, when you can get you can get 5 axe handles for $50 or $60 or $70, you know, that's what I would pay anyway.
You should send him, tell him to send you one.
Yeah, send me a C-grade.
Send me a bundle. We got you. We have a handle. We did a handle hanging video for you.
Yeah, I know. He is sending us over some axe hanging, the hardware that they sell on their website. He reached out to me and said, hey, I want to send you some of these axes. He's like, I know you're putting up your new shop, so I want to send you some of the hangers. So,
you know, be interesting.
What's that?
An angle is for a video, because we need more of these too, where it's just something goofy happening. Right. He sends you 5 of the worst ones or 10 of the worst ones. And you see, like, either we test them out, or you just see, like, this is, we had this guy send us his worst axe handles, and then you actually like check them out. So, like, yeah, right. Like, what's really bad,
right?
And what can and can't be used.
Yeah. That's not a bad idea. Yeah. I know. It's like, I don't know, like, is that good or bad?
Press. I think it's good because we already, I mean, it's, and we will make it clear, obviously.
Right. Yeah.
Like, hey, these are his lowest quality handles that he doesn't normally send. So let's test out the ones that he would burn.
Yeah.
Right. If we didn't try to, if we didn't save these.
Yeah.
Normally he heats his shop with these.
Yeah. Like, let's put them, let's hang them, let's put them through a torture test, you know, see if we can break them, you know, in like normal and then abnormal uses. That's kind of a fun idea. I like that.
Yeah. Because we're not saying that this is the ones he sells.
Right.
We're saying these are the ones he throws away.
Yeah. Right.
But you can also go like, and there's, but then, you know, then we can also shout them out in the video. Like, but there's also these grade ones and go
check right, them out. Yeah. And then, you know, because inevitably some of those axes that he sends are going to be, you know, like definitely usable. You know, it's like these are, and probably better quality than anything you'd find, you know, at a, you know, they're still all going to be like pretty high quality. It's just not high enough for his standards, you know, for like a quality axe handle company, you know.
Right. Because there's a big knot or something that may or may not break on you.
Right. Yeah. But
cool.
Cool, man. Right. Awesome.
Well, right, I want to go watch the second episode of Alien.
Alien Earth. Alien I know you kind of sold me on it. I'm ready to look it up now,
you
too.
You should watch the first one tonight. I'm going to watch the second one. It's worth it.
Nice. Right on. Yeah. And I think, like, it sounded like a cool premise. And, you know, I like the idea of, again, like you said, that whole series kind of then being on a planet, you know, on Earth where we're like, you know, it's like you can relate. It's kind of cool.
Yeah. I
like it. Cool. All right, everybody. Well, thanks for hanging out with us. Thanks for chatting. We'll be back next week. Imagine that, 2 podcast weeks in a row without a break. Summertime is over, back into the real world. But yeah, so we'll be back next week. And but make sure you head over to YouTube, check out our newest video. It's just building the new workbench in the shop. I think it turned out really awesome. And then you can head over to Instagram and follow both Devin and me on Instagram at The Art of Craftsmanship and at The Art of Camera Guy to see what's going on behind the scenes. Debbie should post some stuff about, like, I don't know, when you're over at the crafty studio. Show people what's going on there a little bit behind the scenes. It'd be kind of fun to show, like, how, like, what you're doing as the Art of Camera Guy, doing different camera work stuff around Maryland.
Yeah.
And then you guys can head over to patreon.com/ The Art of Craftsmanship if you want to support us there as well, and then help put some support back into the channel and everything that we do here that we put out for free for everybody, which we really appreciate everyone who supports us there and everybody else who listens. That's also awesome as well. So, you know, tell your friends about the podcast, let them know about the YouTube channel and all that press and advertisement that helps and keeps us going, keeps us doing what we love to do. So thank you, everybody, all so much for listening. It was always a pleasure, and we will talk to you all next time.
Save big during Labor Day at Lowe's. Get up to 40% off select major appliances. Plus, buy more to get up to an additional 20% off. Shop even more savings with 3 Stay Green 1-cubic-foot vegetable and flower garden soil bags for $10. This Labor Day, take care of your home for less at Lowe's. We help. You save. Valid through 9/3. Soil offer excludes Alaska and Hawaii. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.